Hello and welcome to the Knee Pain Guru podcast series. My name is Bill Paravano, and on these podcasts, each week we go over different topics and concerns and challenges individuals have with chronic knee pain. And this is episode 9, and it's going to be another Q&A. Once again, I'm going to start off with my standard disclaimer. First of all, none of the information here that I'm going to share with you is to be construed as medical advice. If you do have any questions regarding the information in this podcast, please refer to your licensed healthcare professional. However, the information here that I'm going to share is knowledge that I have gained over the past 11 years or so since my knee injury, dislocated my left knee and had reconstructive surgery on my left knee. And this is information that I've used to help both myself as well as countless others over the past 10 or 11 years. So this, of course, there are a few premises on the information that I'm going to share. And first of all, is we're going to make sure that nothing is broken or torn. And also, this is coming from a perspective of addressing chronic knee pain issues without the use of prescription drugs, pain-killing shots, or surgery. Now, for those of you that received the email the other day that this was going to be a live podcast, I do apologize. We had some scheduling snafu that took place, so I'm actually recording this offline right now, and this you should actually receive this in your email box inbox with a live link that you'll be able to listen to it. So I do apologize for any inconvenience this may have caused for those that were planning on listening to this live. However, sometimes circumstances happen beyond our control, and this is kind of how it worked out. So you're getting the podcast regardless, and I am recording it right now. Okay. So, and of course, Michael isn't here because we had to, this is a real last minute thing, so we got this all worked out. We will resume our normal schedule next week. So, let's see. First question here we have is, hello, and when are you going to change your name to the kneesoothingguru.com? I have been listening to everything and trying all your techniques as best I can, and so far so good. Just to let you know, I believe and try to do everything that is on your virtual clinic. I can almost comfortably squat pain-free for the first time in years. Excellent. The last couple years, I have had constant pain only when I use my knee walking. I don't have knee pain when sitting, etc. Recently, there has been so much pain, I was trying to fix the knee the old-fashioned way to build up the quads and the hamstrings in a traditional sense. Stretching insanity. The passive stretching techniques are awesome. I never realized how much tension I was carrying in my body, and I've been releasing a lot recently. I originally hurt my knee 20 years ago. I'm now 46. Since 2000, when I did an Ironman, I have had all types of muscle problems, calf mainly, in both legs. My gait was horrible. Couldn't bend my knee, etc. I thought I'd tried everything. I definitely thought I was going to have to go under the knife. But in the back of my mind, like you, I thought there was a way to rid my pain that I was a prisoner to. Society taught me to accept it. My father limped for years before he decided to get an Oxford knee, and you mentioned that as one of your segments, how this affects children. After my knee scope 20 years ago, my doctor's only advice was, take up biking and swimming, and if you have pain, take this medicine, and when you're in your 40s, you will have arthritis. This was the beginning of the cycle for me that kept me a prisoner in my own body. I accepted this fate, although in the back of my mind I didn't want to. I have an acupuncturist who would painfully take dead muscle tissue out of an injured area. Then I would run again, and it hurt over and over. He saved me over and over. My good leg was starting to break down. 2 years ago, I hurt my Achilles tendon, and my hamstrings has been tender. I realize now the hamstring pain was caused by the tension I carried in my hips. My change to my nervous system is a huge relaxing inhale. I also can't believe how much I don't breathe, and my wife was always telling me to relax my shoulders. Now I know why. I have years of unwinding my body to pre-injury days, but I can see myself becoming a pain-free casual runner again someday. How could it have been so simple? Dr. B, that's Dr. Batman Geldage, his stuff is awesome. I love the taste of water, but never drank enough. Now I know why I love water, because my body was craving it. Awesome. Right now, I have no questions. I'm devoting 24/7 to your site until I reach my goal of pain-free walking. On a different note, I have a friend whose brother who has terrible MS. I sent him the info on Dr. B. Should I do more to make sure he researches water? I only ask you this because I'm sure you have had all types of feedback from many people who would know more on this. Thanks. Sorry for the long letter. Okay, I didn't get a name there. That was incredible feedback. I'm very appreciative of feedback like this. And it's just to really show, if you're listening, how different this approach is, and it's very much looking in the voids of what's going on as far as the knee pain you're experiencing and how it can help you. This is fantastic. As far as should I do more to make sure a friend whose brother has terrible MS, should I do more to make sure he researches water? One of the things that I've found in my experience is the old, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink expression. You can expose them to the information. You can expose them to the book. However, you really can't make them change what's going on. However, I would suggest have your friend's brother listen to this podcast. Because in addition to the water, and Dr. Batman Geldage has a tremendous approach on the autoimmune diseases in his books about water. However, what's really also interesting is the book called The Paleo Diet. And that's one I also have on my website, thekneepainguru.com. And that book gets into a lot of the issues when consuming dairy and grains and how that affects the autoimmune system. And multiple sclerosis, of course, is an autoimmune disease that is affected by the inability of your body to protect itself. And there's a lot of research. That is not my area of expertise as far as the diet piece, and I really default and refer to the paleo diet, which is phenomenal as far as the information. So I would highly suggest and highly recommend that he go check out that book, The Paleo Diet. So thank you once again. That was a phenomenal email that I received, and to be honest, that really made me feel very good. So I'm so appreciative of that. Okay. Next question is from Jan. In the last several days, I have seen some improvements. I am doing many of your stretching exercises, keeping up some of the therapy. I am doing the water consumption and also aware of my breathing and trying to improve that. Are you familiar with Oxycise? I have an old Jill Johnson VCR tape and handbook with lots of pictures and explanations, and I do feel much better after I do a few, but I know I have a ways to go. I appreciate the link for the knee inflammation. I do have a question and thought it might have been covered. So I listened but didn't hear anything mentioned regarding my inquiry. First question, what is your opinion or perhaps the necessity for ice heat packs? I use ice after a workout and heat on my pulled IT band. Yes, I saw the exercise for that, but I can't do it yet. I don't know that I am accomplishing anything with the ice heat, but it feels good. So, okay, first question. Let's address that one. Okay, Jan. As far as the ice and heat, I believe they are very valuable, especially if it feels good. That's something that you're going to want to continue and pursue. The ice actually, when the thinking behind it is that when you, it's not the actual ice that helps promote the healing. It's what the ice does, which is it makes it cold, so then the body will send lots of blood there to warm that area up, which is what the area needs in order to begin and promote the healing process. So it's kind of like the ice restricts and constricts that area, and then the body is going to send more blood to that area to warm it up, which helps flush out the old blood that was in there, the swelling and things like that, and gets new blood in there so it can heal that area. So that's a really interesting approach, that the heat and the ice, in order to kind of get blood to that area. So I think it can be very beneficial, and especially if it feels good, I think that's a good thing that you're going to want to do, because obviously if you have knee pain, you don't want to make it worse. So on to the second question. The therapy folks had me increasing 1 pound weights on all the leg lifts. I don't see any mention of that in your suggestions. Do you think it is necessary? I was up to 4 pounds on some leg lifts. I have the weights, but are they necessary? Thank you for the follow-up. Jan. Well, Jan, I'm not necessary is quite subjective. My approach is not so much the weights that you do the leg lifts. It's not how much weight you do or the amount of reps you do. From my approach, it's the amount of time that you do it. And that's where I see the physical therapy, at least from my perspective, is lacking. Because what happens is you do many reps. And as far as the reps go, if you aren't fatiguing the muscles to get past the muscles so you start strengthening the tendons and ligaments, I don't believe it's doing the work that your leg needs, that your tendons and ligaments need to bring the strength and stability to the knee joint. And that is so huge, and I don't see anybody talking about it. And I know I've said this before, however, you can do the 1 pound weight or the 4 pound weights and do the leg lifts. It is the amount of time that you do it and incorporate it with breathing that is so important and so crucial. And I go into that in my book, Stop Your Knee Pain Now. And that is, you know, obviously you have that, and that's really going to benefit you a lot. Just focusing on the length of time. So I would take those leg lifts and take them out, keep the leg lifted for 20 seconds or 30 seconds or a minute. And when your leg starts shaking, that's when you know the muscles are out of the way and you're working on tendons and ligaments. So, Jan, that's really my perspective. So necessary is, once again, subjective. And as long as you follow those principles I talk in my book about the length of time that you do the exercises, I think you're going to be just fine. So, okay, on to the next question. Question is from James. I have water in the knee, in one of his knees, and swelling at the bottom of the foot on the heel. I'm not sure if your advice is that the fluid will go away eventually or that I need to go to the doctor and have it drained. This is the first time and I don't know what might have caused this condition. Also, does this imply that there is a problem that is causing it or some bumping that may have happened that I was unaware of? James Hong. He's 62 years old. Okay, James, I've talked about the inflammation piece, the swelling, the water on the knee. All of that is along the same vein. And of course, once again, I'm going to go back to the fact that you're going to make sure that you've had this checked out by your doctor and that there's nothing broken or torn. So once we get that ruled out, then what needs to happen is we look at the conditions. Are you creating the conditions to make you having this water on your knee or the swelling to go down? And the big piece here is the fact that, and I talk about it, we got to unkink the garden hose. We need to put the, take the pressure off of what's going on in the knee, in the leg, in the ankle, that is causing the swelling. And like I said, it's just like unkinking the garden hose. And I talk about that in the passive stretching section of my virtual clinic. And that's what our first, the first question that I answered was talking about. The passive stretching section that takes the pressure off of what's going on. And when you take that pressure off of what's going on, the body has a phenomenal capacity of being able to clean that swelling out on its own. Now, of course, that's only a piece. We have to look at water. We have to look at nutrition to make sure that the body is getting what it needs to be able to heal what's going on in the knee. The foundation, the water and the nutrition. So making sure that that is dialed in, then looking at the exercise and the stretching as well, and of course the breathing. The second question person that wrote in today, Jan, was talking about how the breathing has helped her a lot, and that makes such a huge difference because you're looking at tension in the nervous system that causes the leg to be tight, and when the leg's tight, once again, you're looking at the kink in the garden hose and contributes to the swelling. So I'd say, James, first thing, get to the doctor. Get it checked out. Get it looked at. Have the doctor give you a green light that nothing's broken or torn, and then look at what's going on. Definitely, if you have not gotten my ebook, I'd do so because those exercises in there are definitely helpful. And then get with the purchase of the ebook, you get a free 1-month membership to my virtual clinic. And that you just can't go wrong. That goes and you have access to all those videos that I was talking about earlier that are definitely going to help you as far as what's going on in your knee. So go ahead and check that out. And if that if the doctor, you know, based on the information you get from your doctor, shoot me another email and we will see where you are there. So, okay. The next question here is from, I don't know. They didn't put a name. I'm 51 years old, walking upstairs, can feel pain in the knees. At times walking can feel like weak knees and some creaking sounds from the knees. Cannot run like younger people. Sometimes have to wear a knee guard. Currently just taking glucosamine. Is this book correct for me? Well, I do believe so. Sounds like what you have going on is weak tendons and ligaments in your knee, which consequently is a big issue with people. The way it works out, most of our muscles get worked out. Exercises that we do really addresses the muscles in the leg. However, the tendons and ligaments get quite weak, and that's really what that book gets into. Building the strength and stability in the knee joint itself. It's like apples and oranges comparing muscles to tendons and ligaments. And by strengthening those tendons and ligaments in the joint, it's going to make a huge difference for you in terms of how your body is able to heal what's going on in your knees. And of course, the purchase of the book, you get the free month in the virtual clinic. And that gets into all of the other areas, the water, the nutrition, the stretching, and the breathing that I only touch briefly on in the book, that I have tons of videos and audio and things like that in the virtual clinic that goes over all those things. So I believe the book can help you. Okay, I have a question from Fauzia. It says, "Hi Bill, I have been struggling with my knee since 2002, where I had pain and swelling. In 2007, I had an arthroscopy done on my right knee. I have had relief and no complaints since then. Now do not have pain in my knee, but my knee keeps swelling up. Then I have to have it aspirated and injected with celestamine. Is this safe to do? Please reply. Thank you." I really can't give a perspective as to whether it's safe to do or not. My own personal opinion, I don't like needles. I don't like getting injections and things like that. What's important is to zoom out and understand your knee is doing this for a reason. Your knee, your body, your nervous system is like the dashboard to your car. And if there's something going on, there's something wrong, you're having a problem with your knees, you're having swelling, that means there's something that needs to be looked at. There's something that needs to be paid attention to. And my guess is that there's some sort of tension pattern that the knee is holding on to protect itself from being injured further. And as beneficial as surgeries are, they're incredibly traumatic to the body. Now, that's not to say we should never have a surgery. That's just to say that the body needs to be addressed and supported after the fact. And that just because the surgery has happened doesn't mean there still is stuff going on in your knee that needs to be looked at, that needs to be addressed. And this translates throughout the rest of your body. You'll have issues in other areas that aren't necessarily apparent initially. So it's you have to zoom out and zoom in. You have to have what I'd refer to as wide-angle vision, and you have to have microscopic vision. Have the macroscopic and microscopic view at the same time. And if you continually have to go and get your knees injected and have needles and all of that kind of stuff, then there's something going on, and there's something that needs to be looked at. And I don't believe that just getting injections is the answer, because what's happening is you're not addressing the underlying issue. It's kind of putting a Band-Aid on it, so to speak. So in comparison to the dashboard to your car, it's like your check engine light going on and you just unplug in the bulb so you don't see the light on. And you know that there's something going on with your engine, yet just because you don't see the light doesn't mean everything's fine. So I definitely look into that. I would check out that, once again, in my virtual clinic, that passive stretching section. A lot of people have had a lot of benefit from that, and I would suggest that would be something you'd check out at the very least. So, okay. Next question. Let's see. "Sir, I'm suffering from osteoarthritis of the left knee for 2 years. Can it be cured?" Thank you. Padman. Okay. Well, Padman, I do believe osteoarthritis can be addressed. I talked about it in one of my earlier podcasts. It's one of the first three or four of them I talked about arthritis, if I remember correctly. And once again, you got to zoom out. You got to get a bird's eye view. You got to get a bigger picture of what's going on. And we need to look at five areas. One is water, one is nutrition, one is exercise, one is stretching, one is breathing. And I look at when you have knee pain, and osteoarthritis is a form of knee pain, that it's not exempt. You have to look at the holistic, the comprehensive thing of what's going on in the body, and get the body to come back into balance. So you get the water and the diet tweaked out. You get it so it's just right for you. You're getting exactly what you need as far as the water and the fuel. So it sets up the conditions so your knees can heal themselves. And then you look at exercise, stretching, and breathing. You look at those other factors that are causing the tension that impinges on the nerves and creates the problems that you're having in your knees. So all of that is covered in my virtual clinic. You look at the ebook, you look at the virtual clinic, and give it a shot. So I do believe that can help you. It's going to take some time. If you've had osteoarthritis for 2 years, then odds are your knees were bothering you before that. And if your knees were bothering you before that, you're talking about a pattern that's been there a while. So it's going to take some time. It's going to take some support. And I do provide extensive support in several of the coaching programs that I do provide. So if you do have questions, shoot me an email at bill@thekneepainguru.com if you're interested in one of those coaching sessions. And I'd be more than happy to get you set up, and people get even faster results in the coaching program because now it's custom tailored specifically to you. So, okay, I have a question here from Iman. It says, "Hi Bill, I have just joined your group recently. Actually, I have a question related to the knee joint. I am a female, 23 years old, a student. I hear a clicking sound in my knee during sitting or standing up and doing daily exercise. I wasn't playing sports, and I've just started around a month ago. I live on the 6th floor, and usually I use the stairs instead of the elevator. Would you please tell me what's the reason of this sound, and is it normal or indicate a hidden problem? I need your recommendation. Thank you, Iman." Okay. The knees can, there's a lot of things that'll cause knees to click. Cartilage, meniscus, tendons, ligaments, if they get stuck around the cartilage or the meniscus, it coming off of there, they can be very tight, so it can make a clicking sound. It doesn't necessarily indicate a problem. After I had my knee surgery, they did ACL reconstruction on my left knee and took out two pieces of meniscus. My knee will pop several times throughout the day. That's just kind of how it's been. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't swell. I don't have any problems. It's just a little noisy. Considering everything else, considering what I've been through, I really don't pay attention to it. So there's that. Now, there's also the fact that you could have weak tendons and ligaments in the knee joint, and what's happening is now your knee's getting a little bit looser, so it's causing this popping and things like that. So I go over all of the exercises in my ebook that really focus on strengthening the tendons and ligaments in your knee joint. So that's something that I would suggest a direction you go look at, take a look at. So, okay. I have a question here from N. Syed. I saw your video on YouTube regarding knee pain swelling. I don't see how your advice is going to help anyone. Your solution is to find a place of comfort and allow the fluid to drain naturally. How do you find this place of comfort? And when you do, what do you do with it? Got it. This is a good question. Okay. The position of comfort is relative. It's going to be different for everyone. And I go into great detail on this, and talk about this in my virtual clinic. The focus of this is to begin to create the space in the knee joint that's causing the restriction, that's causing the problem, that's causing the discomfort. And when you take the body to comfort, the nervous system, you have two aspects of your nervous system. There's the sympathetic, which is the fight, flight, or freeze, or the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and relax. And when your knee is experiencing pain or swelling, you have the sympathetic or the fight, flight, or freeze aspect of your nervous system kicked in. When this is tense, it's very difficult for your body to heal what's going on in your knees and get rid of swelling, discomfort, and all that. Because in addition to the pain in your knee, it also affects the rest of your body. It causes your blood pressure to go up. It causes your heart rate to go up. It causes your pupils to dilate. It causes your adrenal glands to kick in. All of those responses that your body has to keep you protected and safe is kicked in. And that's to keep you alive, and it also keeps you up. Which means when your adrenals are kicked in, your cortisol levels are high, and it's going to be very difficult for you to rest and relax or drop down and fall asleep. So when you begin to find this position of comfort in your knee, it begins this process within your structure that allows your nervous system to back off of that fight, flight, or freeze response and engage the rest and relax response, which allows you to get better sleep. It allows your adrenals to back off and quit producing cortisol. It allows your heart rate to decrease, your blood pressure to decrease, and all the way around, it's very, very beneficial to you. So it's very difficult over an audio thing or an audio podcast to describe the position of comfort. However, get into the virtual clinic, and once again, you can get a free month of that with the purchase of my ebook, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And I do believe, if you're having something going on with your knees, it's definitely going to help you. And of course, make sure it isn't broken or torn first. So, okay. I have a question here from Judith. Judith says, I've just received the virtual clinic program, and I've been on your diet for a week. I had two surgeries on my left knee 8 years ago. I had torn meniscus and a Baker cyst, which ultimately was fixed, but they removed meniscus 2 times. When that surgery was done, the bones are now touching on one side. There appears to be very little meniscus left in that part, and even though they are talking about a knee replacement, I am 69 years old, but I am in good health. Since I began my knee problems, I began insomnia. Since the knee problems began, I started having insomnia. With the diet, I have begun to sleep better. Could I send you my knee x-rays? I see that you know a lot about knees. I do not want a knee replacement. Do they grow meniscus in petri dishes? Do you have any suggestions? Regards Judith. My knee inflammation and pain is much better with the diet. My injury was sports induced. Okay, Judith. You know, it's really interesting. For the most part, I don't need to see x-rays because from my perspective, the x-rays are a picture of the past. So it's kind of looking at it like looking at a dinosaur bone. It's not telling me what's going on in your knee right now. And when I work with clients one-on-one, I find out exactly what's going on with their knees from today's date. And that's really what needs to be addressed. Because we can't look to the past. We can't really address what happened in the past. We can only be present and address what's going on today, right now. And in doing so, and when I work with clients one-on-one, what we do is we find out exactly what exercises, which stretches, which breathing exercises that are for where your knees are today. And in doing so, you work over the next week on all of those exercises that we talk about, the stretches that we talk about, the breathing things that we talk about, and then see where your knee is in a week. And then reevaluate. And if things are working and things are great, then we don't touch anything. If they didn't work, then we kind of revamp it. Or if they've changed, if they've improved, then we tweak those things and switch so we address exactly what's going on in your body. And I found it to be very helpful, very beneficial. And I was working with a client earlier today, and she is just rocking with her knees. Where she was just 5 weeks ago and where she is now was like night and day. You wouldn't even believe it. And the knowledge and understanding that she's getting with her body is absolutely amazing, because that's part of the problem with knee pain, is that there's a misunderstanding of what's happening in the knee. And by beginning to empower yourself with the knowledge and understanding of that information, there's these phenomenal things that happen. See how the knee pain relates to your hips and your lower back and your shoulders. And that's what my client was realizing today, is the relationship that the knees have with the rest of the body. So we give other exercises and passive stretches that address all of those components that make you feel normal again. So you can get back to your life, so you can get back to understanding exactly what you need to do. You have the tools in your toolbox that if something starts going on in your body, you know exactly what to do and how to make sure you never have to think about your knees again. So, Judith, hopefully that answers your question. If it didn't, then shoot me another email. And if you're interested in that coaching program, just give me a holler. Go ahead and shoot me an email and tell Heidi that you're interested in signing up for that. So, okay, we have one more question here. And it is by, let's see, Lynn. Okay. I have started to suffer with bad knees since March 16th of this year, when I injured my left knee quite badly while skiing overseas. What a coincidence. I have injured my knee the same way you did during skiing. Yeah, I hear you. It was about 2 months after the injury, and I had seen a Chinese physician 13 times during this period. Although I have recovered a lot overall, I still feel pain for certain internal parts of my knee when I make certain movements or actions. Hence, my knee is not recovered fully 100% even after 2 months. Is it normal for my case? How long does it take to fully recover normally from an injury on a ligament and cartilage? What would you recommend to take for healing and build back the worn out cartilage, soft bone, which becomes quite thin after many years of wear and tear when reaching middle age? I have not read through the whole ebook, and I have not watched the videos yet, as too busy these days. We'll try during this weekend so I can make more inquiries if you have another perspective. Thanks in regards, Lynn. Okay, Lynn, let's see. Is it normal for my case to heal after that period of time? Lynn, everybody's going to be different. Everybody's going to heal at a different pace. Everybody's body has a different capacity of healing. I believe in maximizing your opportunity for the body to heal itself. Meaning, you do what you can as far as the water and the diet to really get that set up so that could shorten the amount of time that it takes for your body to heal what's going on in your knees. Then, of course, there's the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. And that is, you want to create the space in the knee that needs the space. And then you want to strengthen up and get the body in alignment again. So that's really going to be crucial in terms of your body healing itself. So you want to relax what's tight and strengthen what's loose, so then the body comes back into alignment. Ligaments and cartilage can take a long time, because ligaments and cartilage, they don't have, at least ligaments that I'm aware of, don't have their own blood supply. And cartilage is somewhat limited as well. So it takes longer for those things to heal itself. That's not to say they can't. It just takes a little bit longer. I believe, as far as my perspective, as far as what I recommend for the healing and building back the worn out cartilage and soft bone, I know a lot of people have had success with glucosamine, MSM, and chondroitin. They've had a lot of benefit as far as that goes. However, you still have to create the conditions around that. The water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. So I believe glucosamine, MSM, and chondroitin supplements are going to be beneficial for you. So let's see. Lynn, hopefully I answered your question. If you have more, go ahead and shoot me an email at bill@thekneepainguru.com. And that's going to help you out a lot. So that ties up the questions for today. Once again, thank you very much for being on the call. And I have three things here. If you're listening to this and you're curious as to how you can start helping yourself get over chronic knee pain, there are three specific things you can do. The first one is to go to my website, freekneepainreport.com, and go download my free report. And this goes over those five areas that I was talking about: the water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. And check out that report. On the very next page, you will have an opportunity to get a copy of my ebook, Stop Your Knee Pain Now. And with the purchase of that ebook, for a limited time, you have the ability to get a 30-day free trial to my virtual knee pain clinic. And that is with every purchase of my ebook. So those are three things that you can do very easily right now that is going to get you moving in the right direction, that's going to help you get out of chronic knee pain. So I want to thank you so much for being here today, and I look forward to hearing from you. If you have any questions, just shoot me an email, bill@thekneepainguru.com. So everyone, have a wonderful day, and I will be in touch soon.